no helicopters have been procured for me to go to golf course. Thank you.
I've never said he wasn't a great politician. I'm just saying he's a
off. He's listening to you.
How'd you play out there today?
Well, I found the conditions challenging, mostly because there's no grass on the golf course, but there never has been.
I'm thinking about the swag bag, and I have high hopes for the swag bag.
When you got three crevices on the green, your course is trash.
What's happening, everyone? Welcome back. Beltway Golfer Podcast, episode 63. I'm your host, Alex Dixon. For this episode, I sat down with two other hosts of a locally produced golf podcast, Adam and Eddie, who have been hosting the Mediocre Golf Podcast for going on 4 years, 190 episodes. They have a weekly show that is a lot about the banter and back and forth between the two hosts, Adam and Eddie. They talk a lot about their golf experiences, their rounds of golf, their mishaps, funny anecdotes, their golf trips. They do some interviews, though that's not primarily what they do in their show. I was even on their show for a brief kind of 10-minute chat after a round I had with Adam out of Poolsville, gosh, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. But it's a fun, lighthearted look on golf about Adam and Eddie's personal experiences, and it's local. You know, they play a lot of Montgomery County courses. They played a lot of courses in the area. They talk a lot about Montgomery County courses. So if you're looking for another local podcast to check out, I certainly recommend Mediocre Golf Podcast. And we get into the, kind of their journey in this conversation, and it was fun to catch up with them. Before we get to the sit down, made an announcement since our last podcast. The Bankroll at Bretton Woods. We're hosting an event at Bretton Woods Recreation Center out on River Road, just north of the Potomac River in western Montgomery County, on Wednesday, June 7th. It's a 1 p.m. shotgun start. We're going to host a two-person better ball event. We're going to give out prizes for both net and gross winners. Registration includes tea gifts, lunch, post-round hang with food and drinks. Still working out some of the details, but might even have a little competition. They got a mini golf course right next to the clubhouse. Going to make it a fun event. I'm excited about it. Limiting it to 72 golfers to keep things moving. Make sure it's not a five-hour round. It's only four golfers per hole. And I'm excited about it. We already had a bunch of signups. There's certainly still some available. Go to beltwaygolfer.com, click on outings, and you'll see all the details there. But it's Wednesday, June 7th, 1 p.m. shotgun start at Bretton Woods Rec Center on River Road in Montgomery County. Looking forward to that. What else? Tell you what I'll do for Adam and Eddie, their Mediocre Golf Podcast. They lead each show with what they call mediocre observations. And I'll, in honor of them being our guests, I'll do a mediocre observation since the last podcast put out. And since the last Beltway Golfer episode was all about the PGA show down in Orlando, I'm going to talk about the Washington Golf Show at Dulles Expo Center here in the D.C. area, which has been going on for, I don't know how long, but at least 25, 30 years. I've probably been 8 or 10 times. It's been down, I think, for a year or two because of COVID. Not sure about last year, but I know they took at least a year off, maybe two. And, you know, I always enjoyed it. You know, it's certainly not the PGA show, but there's a lot of opportunities to buy used clubs, meet a lot of kind of local vendors there usually. But my observation was wow, it's not what it used to be. It went this year, maybe the Expo Center was half full. A lot of vendors that had nothing to do with golf, home repair, air conditioning, windows, that sort of thing. The golf vendors that were there just weren't that great. A lot of, you know, kind of low-end golf gear. Me and my buddy, we hung out for less than maybe 20 minutes, maybe half an hour. Unfortunately, can't recommend for next year. I hope it bounces back because it's cool to have a local trade show, but it seems like the Washington Golf Show is on a rapid decline, unfortunately. I hope it bounces back. That's my local golf observation since our last podcast. That's it. Let's get to the conversation. Here's Adam and Eddie, Mediocre Golf Podcast, episode 63 of the Beltway Golfer Podcast. Enjoy.
So I will do an introduction. So we're out here at Northwest Golf Course in Silver Spring, Maryland, with the co-hosts of another locally produced golf podcast, the Mediocre Golf Podcast with Adam and Eddie. What's happening, fellas?
Hey.
What's up, Alex?
Excited to be here.
So let me get this out. So Eddie, I know your last name, Eddie Taylor. Adam, I should know your last name. Yeah. What's your last name?
Adam Hollenbeck.
Adam Hollenbeck.
Yes.
So Adam, you and I have played a few rounds of golf together. I was trying to remember this morning. We played Poolsville. Where else?
Rattlewood. Leightonsville?
And Leightonsville with Claude and Vern from Golf DMV. That was fun.
That was
just last year, which was actually the first time I had ever played Leightonsville in my life.
And the first time you played with Vern or Claude.
Or Claude, right.
And I didn't know you were going to be there.
Yes.
That was a fun day.
That was a fun day. It was a fun outing. And I say it's ironic because I've never played golf with Eddie, and yet we went to high school together.
That's right.
So we probably played basketball together.
And we haven't laid eyes on one another or spoken in I don't know how many years. Well, we were not the same year. You were a couple years younger.
Yeah, I was 97, and
so I was 95. A couple years different.
At one point, I think you reached out to me and said, "Where did Eddie go to high school? Did you recognize him in a picture? Was there something like that?"
I think you may have brought it up in a podcast episode, or said something that triggered
it.
I have no idea what that was or when that was.
Like you were riding home on a bike, you didn't realize you were lactose intolerant. Something along those lines.
It could have been one of those.
But I do. I mean, I don't think we were boys or anything in high school. So there was an age gap. But I do remember you as a baseball player.
Right. Yeah.
Did you play baseball all 4 years?
I did. And actually, I tried to play basketball.
Okay.
But I was the last man cut my freshman year.
Dagger.
There was a kind of a funny story you may remember.
Okay.
No, there was a set of brothers at WJ or Walter Johnson High School, really good basketball players.
Yeah.
And one of them thought I was like talking smack about their basketball game.
Okay.
And they he threw me up against the locker and was threatening to beat me up, and it caused a big brouhaha. We became friends afterwards. But
can you tell me their names first? Let's see if I remember him.
Last name Johnson, I believe.
Johnson.
No, not ringing a bell.
It's almost too generic a last name.
I know. Sorry.
Did he get suspended when this happened?
Yeah, he did actually. And again, afterwards we became buddies. But it was like,
was this related to you being the last person cut, or these are two unrelated?
So incidents? I have a bit of like part of my sense of humor is like talking trash above me. Adam, maybe you've seen that.
That's one of my favorite aspects of your personality.
Yeah.
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 What does that mean, talking trash above you?
So, like, if somebody's clearly superior than me, then I'm going to talk a lot of smack about, taking them down. Exactly.
Sure.
And I don't think that this individual understood that I was joking. And he took it as, a personal affront. And, I still remember the day I got my whole body tossed up against the locker. As a freshman in high school, that's a rough day.
I mean, that happened. Yeah.
Did you say that happened?
I feel like I may have been on both ends of that in high school. I probably got slammed up against high school and may have done that to somebody else. I don't remember. I plead the fifth.
As a man of larger carriage, I was not thrown up against many lockers. Yeah.
Real quick, got to interrupt the podcast for a funny anecdote related to the story that Eddie just told. After we were taping, we're out on the golf course, and one of us brought that up while we were playing, and Eddie reiterated how he was surprised that I didn't know who these two brothers were. After some back and forth, it turns out he had the names wrong. We figured out who it was, got the correct name, and it's one of my best friends to this day. In fact, I had talked to him on the phone on the way to this taping. The person that Eddie had this incident with, you know, however many years ago, back when he was a freshman in high school. So after the round, we got the guy in question on the phone, my buddy, his assailant, if you will, and had some good laughs about it, even got an apology 30 years later. But the odds of him randomly bringing up this story at the early on the podcast and it being one of my best friends even to this day is too funny. Anyway, back to the conversation.
Adam, where'd you grow up?
I'm an Air Force brat.
Got it.
So high school, the first couple of years were over in England. I was we lived on Chick Sands Air Force Base.
The first couple of years, like literally the first couple of years
freshman,
of your life?
Freshman, sophomore year of high school.
Oh, got it. Got it.
And then my dad finished up his service down in D.C. We lived in Northern Virginia, so I went to Garfield High School the last 2 years.
I should know where that is. Where is
Woodbridge,
Garfield?
Virginia?
It's in Woodbridge. Okay.
Yeah. If you've heard of Potomac Mills, you know where
that's where,
that's where it is.
Interesting. So if you're not familiar with the Mediocre Golf Podcast, we're going to get into it. But why don't I let you guys, want to give like the elevator pitch on what the Mediocre Golf Podcast is all about?
On what we are?
It doesn't have to be a pitch, just like maybe the 30-second overview or however long you want it to be.
I'll let you start, Adam.
Well, as we often start our show, there's nobody as mediocre as we are.
That's true.
We've talked a little bit about this, saying that some people might not want to listen to a show that's mediocre, but we take it as, just tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
We know there are people better than us. We definitely know there are people worse than us, but we like to talk about what's going on in everyday life. We love the show Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm, so I'd say like the first third of our show is us just talking about the funny observations that we have in normal everyday life. We usually at some point get into our golf and kind of point to make fun of the people that we interact with and ourselves, our golf games. And we usually like to talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of golf. I think at first we used to talk about more what's going on tour each day. We don't like that anymore. But yeah. But if there's a rules controversy, we'd kind of like to give our two cents on that as well.
Yeah.
So
I think you summed it up pretty well.
I think that's kind of our show in a nutshell.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I imagine that's why a lot of folks have taken to your show. It's very different than mine. You know, like the Bellwig Golfer is literally, this is an interview show. I mean, I do short intros, but it's really about the person I'm talking to. Where you guys really get into, amongst other things, your round of golf and how you played, and talking about not just, you know, how you did on this hole, although that's a part of it, but a lot of the funny things that happened in and around the things around your golf round, but it's really a lot about your own experience.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that's where I think a lot of people relate to that, because, you know, you watch golf on TV and it's like, you got somebody's like, oh, you know, par here, birdie here, par, birdie. And then like us, we're like, well, then we triple bogeyed that hole, or, you know, we needed this to break 80 and then we completely collapsed. And I think people can relate to that. Because, you know, there was a lot of golfers that would love to shoot the scores that we do.
Sure.
That's actually one of the funny things. I actually got out and played yesterday, and I was wearing one of our hats, the mediocre golf hat. And people were like, oh, one of the guys was like, oh man, that's awesome. Like, oh, I want to check out the show. And then I hit a drive right down the middle and they're like, that ain't mediocre golf. That's crap. What kind of name is that? It's all relative. And we always point to the fact that there are a lot of people that will say, oh, you guys are shooting in the 70s on a consistent basis. You guys are way better than mediocre. But then we have friends who are scratch professional, who just talk so much trash to us that we're used to hearing it on the other end that we
see. That's right.
So I we often will say everybody has a mediocre range or zone. Like I think Eddie and I, it's pretty similar. I think if we shoot 80 to 85, we kind of walk off the golf course going, what the hell happened? But we understand that there are people who
that's a great round.
And that is a spectacular round. We understand that. It's different for everybody. So we like to point to that. I don't think that we talk quite as often about our rounds and going hole by hole. That's something we definitely did earlier on.
Right.
We've learned people don't want to hear hole by hole so much, but they want to hear what made it interesting. I think they like hearing about the collapses. Seriously, because people learn from bad stuff. If they just hear, wow, Eddie, you birdied two out of the last three to shoot a 78. Good job. That's a quick little golf clap. But when they hear, I fell apart, this is how I handled it, this is what went wrong, this is why I'm mentally struggling with the game, this is why I didn't touch my golf clubs for 4 days, this is what I'm going to do to fix it. People can really relate to that kind of stuff.
I think that's one of the reasons, like you look on YouTube, I mean, getting away from podcasts, we look at YouTube, this proliferation of videos of, you know, average golfers playing their rounds with millions of views. Because people,
right? It's intriguing. I haven't even actually watched that much of that kind of stuff, but
neither have I. People are off.
But I remember a decade ago watching a PGA Tour event and thinking I'd love to just watch a regular player play and see how they did. And you know what? You're actually intriguing me. Maybe I'm going to watch one of these this weekend and then quickly turn it off after three holes. That's possible.
Have you had it? I think you and I have talked about this once or twice while we're playing golf. It sounds like you guys are kind of proud of that moniker and that name, but have there been times where you kind of regretted naming it mediocre golf because some people kind of take it
maybe
the wrong way?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. Definitely. we've definitely had people question the wisdom of that name. And so it's, I don't know if we're necessarily wedded to it forever and ever, but it's,
but we are going on 4 years with that name.
Exactly.
You know? And that, no, we've had people who've said like, oh, I've heard of that show, but why would I want to listen to something that's mediocre? And I get that. I do think that's the holdback. Like if we can get people to just tune in and listen, like we hope that they'll stick with us. And we've gained a lot of good friends from the show, you know, right. And like you're pointing out, we do have people that check in every week, or if we don't have a show that came out on a particular week, they're like, where is it? Where are you guys? I want to know. I want to know how that round went. I want an update on Eddie's dog. I want whatever it is. Like Eddie's dog's the new third member of the show, right. It seems.
Well, that's one thing I find interesting about your show and a lot of your shows that are your format or your style is it's almost more like traditional radio show hosts where you get to really know them as people. And I'm sure there's people that are listening that maybe have never met you and they feel like they know you. Much like you would a radio show host or a celebrity that's talking about their lives that, you know, I don't think you get listening to my show.
I will say like your show, you're a storyteller. There are those shows that are done independently by one person. There are the shows like No Laying Up that have four guys that are giving all input. When we were doing this show though, I really kind of, one of my favorite shows locally are the Sports Junkies. Sure. And I love that format. And I've met three out of the four of them, but
you feel like you knew everything about
it. I feel like I knew them when I met them and I'm like, that's out. And they don't know me, but right. Yeah, I feel like they're my friends almost.
Sure.
And I hope that, some of our listeners have felt like that, or even the ones who haven't met us yet, they probably feel like they know us to an extent.
So now there is a downside to this though.
Okay.
And that is, I can't tell you how many times I've been out with a buddy. Saying like, oh, I got to tell you about my round last week. And they're like, Eddie, we heard it on the podcast. Like, and I'm like, oh, it takes the fun away. Cause you know, part of like, as golfers, like we love telling stories to our buddies about what happened on the golf course. Yeah. So now that we do this, it kind of like when we're with our buddies, they're like, oh yeah, we know what you did. We know about that trip you went on. You don't have to tell us about it. We listened to it for an hour.
That's true. That is true. They get to tell us everything about them.
Sure. Right.
But we don't get to tell them anything. We're like, no, there's stuff that we didn't share on the show.
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, whatever. It was a 2 hour long show.
To that point, because I do the same thing. Like when I play golf, I have two or three buddies that are like literally, if I wasn't playing with them or even if I was playing with them, I'll call them on the way home from the round and just tell them like they give a crap about everything that just happened on my day on the golf course. You guys have been doing this, like you said, 4 years, 190 episodes. Is that right? You guys,
if not more because of part one, part two, stuff like that.
That's right. Yeah. But so you guys have been doing it essentially week in, week out, every single week, have stuck to it just about for four straight years. Is that part of it kind of what makes it easy to stick with that routine? Is you guys are literally just kind of having that phone call I just talked about with my buddies, except you're doing it with each other and you're recording it?
For sure. I would even venture to say, Eddie, that like going back 10, 15 years ago when we would play, that's exactly what we would do every single round. Sometimes every single range session. Like, right. Listen to what I found.
Right,
listen
right.
Listen to how crappy this went. You know, it was always one way or the other. But now as we've done the show has kind of turned into our weekly check-in, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Because we want it to be fresh. Unless something amazing happens, like we save it for the show. We want it to be fresh on the show. We want real reactions. We don't want it to be like, okay, well, I'll act like this next time I hear it. We don't want that at all. We want it to be fresh. So the show has kind of turned into our check-in.
Absolutely.
What was the motivation of getting this thing started to go back 4 years?
Well, I mean, so Chasing Scratch has to get a little bit of credit here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, we fell in love with their show, season one. Adam actually introduced
Chasing Scratch, another podcast.
Correct.
Very popular podcast.
Yeah. Mike and Eli, who I think they're buds. I consider them buds now. They certainly helped us get this off the ground.
Yeah.
And I met them briefly at the PGA show. It was only for, you know, we had talked for a minute, but they're very nice.
Very super cool. Nice. Yeah. And then I don't know who said it to who first, but we were like, you know, we talk so much golf. Why don't we just record it and see what happens? And that's really how it started.
Yeah. Prior to the show, I would call Eddie on like a Saturday morning and talk about around or the equipment that I was thinking about buying or going to the range. And we would be on the phone for 2 hours straight or more.
Right.
And it would be like, we're talking, our wives would be upset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, that we're talking this much. And it was around that time when Chasing Scratch came out, I fell in love with their show, which is very much a storytelling. So theirs is more of a week to week, a continuation of a story of them chasing scratch.
Yeah.
And then I had reached out to them through social media. They were talking about me on the show. I think that gave me some motivation. And then after one of these 2-hour talks on a Saturday, it was like, why don't we do a show?
Yeah.
We reached out to Chasing Scratch. Mike gave us an hour one day and kind of told us all the equipment we needed gave us recommendations. And you might want to use this platform to put it up. This tracks your numbers
better. 4 years ago. How long have they been going?
They were in their first year, I think.
Maybe they had finished their first going into their second. Yeah, it was right.
Were they
it was
very towards popular the beginning. Yet?
Well, I think they
were. I had never heard of them until I think you were the one that actually told me about them. I wasn't familiar with them.
And they are huge now, like sponsored by Titleist and FootJoy. Yeah. And they took it to another level through YouTube, I think.
Right.
What was the name of the show that they got their motivation from? Can you remember?
I can't. No.
Oh, I can't think of it either because it was a show that I didn't like that much.
Oh, The Hazel Jockeys.
The Hazel Jockeys.
Yeah,
that's correct. And that was not a favorite show of mine.
I've listened to that once or twice.
Yeah. And there's probably a reason why you stopped after two. But
I don't remember my opinions about it.
But they were friends with one of the hosts of the Hazel Jockeys, and they were kind of paying it forward, you know, like that they had a similar talk with one of the guys from the Hazel Jockeys, and then they helped us out as well. And yeah, huge fans of them. Like, so I talked about the Sports Junkies, but Chasing Scratch was a huge motivating factor, and I continue to love their show and everything they put out. They're spectacular.
Another thing, correct me if I'm wrong here, or I know I'm not wrong. When you guys started this, it was a 3-person podcast.
That's right.
With your dad, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Two questions. First, how many episodes did you do with your dad before it became a 2-person podcast?
Okay. So about a season. So almost the full year.
I think it went, probably like 5 seasons. So probably, I would guess like 50 episodes.
Yeah. Just about.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool to have your dad on the podcast.
Yeah.
But was it, tell us the story. How did it become 2? Did you have to fire your dad or how did that work?
There was no firing.
Yeah. No. There was no firing. He did step away. Okay. I think there were some creative differences. I mean, maybe Adam can speak more to those, than I can, but I think he's still in many ways, still a big part of the show. I play probably a majority of my rounds with him. And, you know, he's the first one to text me after a show drops, like tell me what he thought about it. And he has guest hosted from time to time. And so, you know, he'll probably be back in that context. But Adam, you want to talk about some creative differences?
No, just not really. No, there were creative differences. I mean, that's kind of it. We had discussions and we couldn't come to an agreement. We did not let him go, but he decided to step away. They're not as many songs or poems since he moved away.
That's true. Yeah. So
I'm not sure I've listened to an episode where you get a poem.
My favorite, looking back at a David episode, is he went down to Pinehurst and visited some friends. He didn't play Pinehurst number 2 or number 4. You may know the numbers he played.
Right. Like 5 and 3. Yeah.
But I remember us asking him to give a review of the course. And he said, well, you know, there was a nice stream on Pinehurst number 3, and there were some rolling hills. And you got to hear about the frogs I saw.
And nature lover.
And I think at the end of that, we were like, that is one of the most interesting reviews we've ever heard about Pinehurst. So yeah, there were some differences, but he's still involved. He always agreed with Eddie. There was almost like if there was any disagreement, it was always 2 against 3, and I knew which side had 2. And I would follow up with the text that comes through after we drop each episode is to say what he agrees with Eddie on.
Well,
that is consistent.
You know, to be fair to my dad, if you paid any attention to our Instagram polls, most people agree with me on most.
That's things. Total crap.
It's just side sitting, for example. Remember the side sitting issue?
What was the first poll that I don't remember, and I'm sure you're not going to remember because you lost.
Yeah, I don't remember that one either.
So. Well, I think that's key to a good show is a little bit of conflict, that you guys don't agree on everything. You guys,
right.
You guys disagree quite a bit.
I think a lot of TV shows and radio shows, they kind of preset the conflict. We don't. We just don't agree. But
yeah.
but we do agree to
disagree.
I mean, we know that we have different opinions. And I don't think we beat each other up. I think we do a pretty decent job presenting our sides. And then when we think it's funny enough, it usually ends up in some sort of Instagram poll, which
right.
Which then when Eddie loses, we'll say that I framed to to make it look like I wanted to win.
My record's like 10-1 in those Instagram polls.
Such crap.
Give or take.
Such crap.
So you guys are local. You guys both live in Northern Montgomery County, is that right, or no?
I'm in over in Howard County, close by. Yeah, okay. So
I'm in Frederick County, and very close by to Montgomery.
Adam, you work in D.C., right?
Correct.
Eddie?
I work about 10 steps from my bed.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I like that.
I got to clean that up. I have an office off my bedroom. So,
got it. Yeah. But so you guys are local. You guys talk a lot. You guys play a lot of Montgomery County courses.
Sure.
But one of my questions is, you know, again, like my podcast, everybody I'm talking to, it's called Beltway Golf. I refer to the DC. Everybody I'm talking to, like my whole shtick and theme is connected to kind of the DMV or DC area in some way. Because it's Mediocre Golf Podcast and you guys are really just talking about your experiences, is a lot of your listeners, do you look at the geographic demographics? Is it mostly this area or is it all over?
It is all over.
I
actually have stopped looking at that stuff, to be honest, because I think it's something that we paid particular attention to early on. But because we have a lot of listeners in the UK.
Right.
It is all over the US. I mean, the majority are from Northern Virginia, Maryland, D.C., Pennsylvania. I feel like that's where the majority are. But it's kind of cool to see like every state check off and click off.
Yeah, that's definitely right. And then one of the things I think we're the most proud of are our travel shows. So we've done a number of like Scotland shows. We've done, you know, Stream Song. We've done Cole Urbandon.
Wisconsin.
I've done Pebble a couple times. But, you know, those shows, we really see a geographic dispersion. So the typical show, I think Adam's right. Yeah, mostly in the DMV area would be the majority of our downloads. But we definitely have a following in the UK. But then those travel shows, that it's scattered throughout.
People are interested in that.
I'm sure people are Googling, you know, they're going to Bannon Dunes podcast. And if it comes up as one of them or Pinehurst or wherever you're going.
That's exactly what I did before I went to Bannon Dunes. I tried to take in as much as I could. So I would be searching like the podcast platform and Bannon Dunes. What can I come up with? Yeah. And I think that Bannon Dunes episode is by far, or we have a couple of them, by far our most downloaded show.
Right.
I listened to a good chunk of your podcast, especially this week in preparation for this. I listened to a bunch. and this morning I was listening to one of your Scotland ones. I think it was your second Scotland one. But one of the things I like about your podcast is it's not sometimes in the golf world, especially if you spend enough time on Twitter and Instagram, there's so much of the same kind of trendy popular opinion. You don't give that. I mean, a lot of your takes, you know, you call them mediocre observations, but some of them are not what you'd hear otherwise. You know, complaining about the shapes of toilets in Scotland. But I think those are great. And just kind of the way you talk about the courses, I think is a little bit different than most, which is cool.
Not only the golf, but with our mediocre observations, whatever it is, which I do like to think of as kind of Curb Your Enthusiasm or Seinfeld inspired. Mm-hmm. I sometimes think, like, I wonder how much fodder we've created for those quiet moments on the golf course when you're out with buddies where we say, what do you think of this? And we bounce it back and forth that, like, guys who are walking just down the fairway trying to think, come up with something to talk about, they kind of use those ideas to chat a little bit further. I think about that from time to time, and I hope that's what's happening. I have had people who have listened to our show, Alex, who have literally word for word spouted back out stuff that I've said, like, and I'm like, this is not an original thought. They've heard it from me.
Spout
this
it back is, to yeah, you yes. or elsewhere.
But they thought it was an original thought, but I know they listened to the show and I've been blown away that like we sometimes have that kind of,
I have friends that do that just in general conversation. Yeah. I told you that 3 days ago. You can't tell me that. That's funny. But you guys have had some fun. I mean, you mentioned Bannon in your travel shows, but you've also had some, you don't do guest every show, but you guys do some interviews. You guys had a popular one with Matt Ginella talking
about
Bannon.
Matt Ginella was fun.
Yep. Yeah. Tom Coyne, right? That was kind of a preview show to Scotland, or was that post Scotland? Were you just talking about his books? I don't remember.
Great question. I don't remember.
What were we talking to him about?
I don't remember. Was it before? Who knows?
It was. He had that a golf course called America, right?
Well, he did have that.
Yeah.
I like Tom Coyne's books. I like his. I actually like his books. I think he's a spectacular interview. I think his interviews are better than his books. I just think his storytelling capabilities are so fun. And I was just excited to have him on the show. And sometimes when we get a big name, you've had some awesome interviews, like Dean Beeman comes to mind. I love that interview. But I love when we get somebody on the show and they agree, not knowing who the heck we are. But then once they start talking, they kind of, I can tell, I can see it in their eyes. Sometimes they're like, oh, these guys are kind of fun, you know, like, cause they don't know what they're getting into. I've listened to a lot of crappy radio shows and podcasts over the years. And sometimes they stink. But like when we get Tom Coyne, who's never met us before, agrees to do the show, and we're having trouble getting him off the interview, it seems like that's fun. Sure. I like that a lot.
Sure. I almost have to pause this because I just noticed your sweatshirt. Can you explain that sweatshirt?
Is that you?
There's not much to it. It was a present.
You did it.
I didn't want to absolutely say without being right.
I thought that it looks like your backswing. Yeah. Is that you?
Yeah. There's sites. Am I blushing? I think there's sites like Pinterest where you can get this done. You send them a picture. I didn't do it for my
This isn't like you're not doing some Phil Mickelson branding here, like where you're doing your own silhouette.
Don't look at my hat that I'm wearing later.
or like Kevin Na, where he's got his walk.
Yeah, where he's walking it in. That's right.
That's the trend. That's cool. Yeah, that was
really
gift.
Cool.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, it was a gift.
I love it.
Thank you. I wish it was a little smaller when I got it. I was kind of like, damn, I'm huge. I'm already big. Why does it have to be so big?
So 4 years, 190 episodes. And so you guys, I've, you know, we're here at Northwest. We're going to tee off here. We got a windy day. It's like 15, 20 mile an hour winds. Yeah. Should be an interesting round. I haven't played here in a while. But based on, and I just listened to your last episode, Eddie, you just played here like a week ago, right?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Yep. Broke 80 with a guy who was, claiming he was going to, try out for the
U.S.
try to qualify for the U.S. Open, even though he didn't break 90.
That's right.
Two rounds in a row, Eddie, you're playing with somebody that's trying to qualify for the U.S. Open.
Oh,
no, me. You'll see from my game. I'm curious, you know, since you guys have started this, what kind of impact has hosting a podcast for 4 years had on your golf game? Does it require you to play more golf? Are you busy with the podcast? You play less golf, or is it, you know, you want to make sure, because sometimes sometimes like for me, it's almost two parts. One, trying to get the podcast going and everything around it, social media and blah, 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 all these different things. Sometimes I play less golf because I'm so busy doing other things.
Sure.
At the same time, I'm constantly like, want to keep my game in shape, because when I go play with people that have maybe heard of Beltway Golfer, or I tell them about my golfer, tell them about Beltway Golfer, I don't want to shoot 98. You know, I want to be half decent.
Well, let me take a stab at this first.
Please.
You know, I don't think, and I'll speak for myself, I don't think it's possible to play more golf given everything else that we've got going on in life. I mean, I've got, you know, family and I got another day job. And so I don't think it's cut down on my golf at all.
Okay.
And I also don't think it's increased it. I think I play like any opportunity I have, like I will lie, cheat, and steal to get out in the golf course. All right. So like I don't think it's changed that at all for me. Now I will say that I have a bit, like I have a bit of an ego. So like, I don't want to shoot 98s either. So I guess to some extent, maybe there's a little bit of pressure when like, if I'm like playing with like a listener or somebody who I don't really know that well, you know, first time out, like I don't want to embarrass myself when they hear me talking about shooting 75s and 79s or whatever it is. So I guess there's a little bit of that, but
I have multiple thoughts here. Number one, I do want to point to Eddie's 2022, where he played Bandon Dunes, 8 days in Scotland, Pebble Beach, and Pinehurst, which I think may be one of the single greatest like travel years.
That's a solid year
for somebody who is not a professional golfer.
Pretty good year. Yeah.
And I think some people that do those trips, they don't play much other golf. You still found a way to play every week while home too. So do you have any idea how many rounds that was last year?
About 80.
That's pretty awesome. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
It's all relative. I'll let you answer, but it's funny. Like I think last year I average about 35 a year.
Okay.
Like I don't play nearly as much, that much golf, but I got a direct message from somebody at the end of the year last year, I don't even, I think it was unprompted, but it was just like, oh, I just played my 250th round this year. I'm just like, holy shit. It's all relative.
Sure. Yeah. Another thought is, early in COVID, I had this awesome idea of let's record an entire round, kind of like what you're describing. We put it up on YouTube. We go shot by shot. This could be fun. And we went over to Diamond Ridge.
Right.
Over, what is that? Woodlawn, Maryland.
Sure.
And, It was COVID, so we didn't really want to get super close to each other, but I had a GoPro, we had our phones, and I was literally hustling myself, like behind each shot, setting it up. I had a little tripod. We were getting every shot. I want to say Eddie had the worst start to a round I've ever seen, where I'm just going to guess it was like triple bogey, double bogey, double bogey. And after three holes, Eddie was like, get that thing out of here. I don't want to see it. It's affecting me. And I was like, if we can't record this, what are we even doing?
Right.
But then around that, he started to figure it out after we had the GoPro out. And around the eighth hole, ninth hole, he's starting to make a bunch of pars and stabs at birdies. And he's like, hey, Adam, why don't you get the GoPro back? I was like, we're not just recording the good shots. Right, like this, we've got to get everything. But I do remember you kind of being like, well, you got enough bad shots. Can we show some good ones too? So it's a challenge. We do want to play well. Mm-hmm. We've hosted a couple tournaments. We had our Rattle Bottom tournament, this past October. It was our second, already looking forward to the third.
At Rattlewood Golf Course,
the Rattle Bottom, which is a term that we stole from Matt Janella, because when we interviewed him, I think he said he was a 7 or 8 handicap, but he's like, but that's with gimmies and mulligans. He's like, I want a true 5 Rattle Bottom handicap, like hitting the bottom of cups. And then we were kind of like, well, that's what we do. That is something that's, I don't know if it's special to us, but I don't think we play with many people that touch the bottom of the cup every hole. So,
I'm not a rat ball.
I know most we've witnessed that 99% of golfers are not, and I don't hold that against them, but I just know that we play a little bit of a different game. Sure. So, but when we host those tournaments, I do get a dash worked up because it's a lot of work, but also I want to perform well. Right. Yeah. And Eddie actually beat me in the last one by a stroke. I think 79-80.
That's right.
In the first one we played, I was super excited. I shot a 75. The only people that beat me were a college golfer, a professional golfer, and a plus handicap. So we want to play well. We want to show up. We want to, whenever we're with our buddies or listeners, we want to play well. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And we always want to kick each other's butts. That's number one.
That is goal number one.
Like, I don't know if you watched the new Full Swing show on Netflix.
Well, yeah, I already
the first it. Episode was titled with Justin Thomas.
Frenemies.
I feel like that's a perfect description. And actually, that should have been the name of our podcast is Golf Friends. Frenemies. Something like that. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I look forward to seeing it. So we got a tee time here in like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So we might, depending how windy it is, we might record a little bit more out on the course.
Yeah.
Sure.
But we should probably warm up here. Anything else we need to cover before we head out there?
No, thanks for having us on the show, though. We love your show, this is great.
I'm excited to see you guys. You guys are playing together today, and we got a fourth.
Yeah.
Do you guys put any action on when you guys play each other?
There's no amount of money that is worth the smile on the victor's face, right? I mean, like, we've never really gambled much on the course because of that. It's just
there is no money. Yeah. Like just knowing I beat Eddie feels good. I do feel like Eddie will say this is different, but I'm going to put it out there anyways, that like when Eddie wins, Eddie's a shit talker.
When I lose, I'm a shit talker.
When I win, I try to just let my game speak for itself.
Yeah.
And I think that's enough knowing that I got him, like it makes me feel good. So we have a different style when it comes to this, but, sorry, I was listening to this guy. But money. A lot of people will ask that. Like, you guys are pretty serious. Like, how much money's on the rounds? And it's always like, no money. Nothing. I just want to kick his ass.
Yeah. We really don't gamble at all on the course.
All right. What about this year? So we got 20. We're still in February here. Anything like, big coming up for Mediocre Golf Podcast? You guys, any golf trips coming up for this year that you've planned already?
The big one's in August. We're going to Bandon for a full week.
Nice.
So that's going to be spectacular.
Yeah, we haven't gone like midsummer. We've done a lot of February and Novembers.
Right.
So fingers crossed, by the way, right there, that right now there's snow on the ground there, which is rough if you've been planning a trip for 2 years and you get out there and there's snow. So really hoping we can have some shorts weather while we're out there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, my brother lives in Portland, and 2 days ago was my mom's 80th birthday, and he did not make it because of that snowstorm.
Oh, wow. No.
But they enjoyed the snow. Well, listen, this is great. We'll try to record a little bit more out there, but congratulations on 190 episodes, 4 years. Let's go play some golf.
And Alex, we look forward to getting you for a long-winded interview on our show so we can get all the dirty behind-the-scenes stuff that you haven't shared on your show.
Anytime.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right.
Thanks, Alex.
Awesome.
I don't have a good golf game, but I don't really care. I'm a regular dude living in D.C., and I want to know about D.C.-centric golf stuff. If you can tell me something that I don't already know, then that is great for me. I don't want the regular stuff. I want exciting stuff. I want different stuff. I want stuff I can't hear elsewhere. But I want it to be about D.C. golf.